The book Rivonia's Children examines the time in the 60s when some white South Africans first joined the black freedom struggle. NPR's Renee Montaigne spoke with author Glenn Frankel.
Glenn Frankel took his book title from Rivonia Road, which runs through a white suburb of Johannesburg. It was on this road, at the home of a well-off white architect, that Nelson Mandela and a racially mixed group, including lawyers, teachers, journalists, were arrested and charged with treason back in 1963. Nelson Mandela's imprisonment on Robben Island is now legendary. In Rivonia's Children, Glenn Frankel tells the stories of the less well-known white activists.
Chief protagonist for me is a man named Rusty Bernstein, who knew Mandela intimately. They were involved together. They were in the organization known as Mkhontwe Sizwe, which was the underground movement that sprung up in the early 60s after the African National Congress was outlawed. The Communist Party and Mkhontwe Sizwe got together and tried to plan a sabotage campaign. It was designed to supposedly bring the government to its senses. But of course, it had just the opposite effect. It caused the forming police state, if you will, to crack down harder. And Rusty Bernstein and a number of his comrades are arrested in July of 1963, and they're all put on trial with Mandela. They're tried for sabotage, and basically they face the possibility of being hanged.
Why, in fact, were these people involved? Were these white people, why, in fact, did they give up the privilege that they had enjoyed or could have enjoyed even if they didn't put the apartheid laws into effect?
Well, I came up with a few obvious answers. I mean, one thing was that a lot of these people, as the government itself accused them of being, were communists. So they had almost a religious faith in the fact that ultimately they could win. Also, many of them were from a Jewish background, while they weren't religious themselves for the most part. And they always had a sort of slight sense of being outsiders. They really weren't part of the white establishment, if you will. And remember, this is a time when the Communist Party, such as it was, and for whatever crimes, you know, the Communist Party is responsible for in the world. But in South Africa, the Communist Party was the only party that allowed for many years for black membership.
Did they have any idea what they were in for, do you suppose? This was in the 50s.
Well, you're pointing out a very good point on all this, which is that they really didn't know. And this was one of the answers they gave to me when I would pose this question is, you know, when we started getting into this in the 40s, I mean, okay, apartheid was coming in, but South Africa was still more or less a liberal democracy, at least for whites. And, you know, we didn't anticipate that things would go so badly so quickly. We think, well, we can still win this thing. They've got, you know, we've got the black majority on our side. And it's only gradually that they come to see that they're up against a very formidable enemy, a ruthless enemy, and they learn the full consequences of their radicalism and of their dissent. And so they got sucked in together. They were friends. You know, Mandela and these guys were very close friends. For them to have dropped out of this movement as things got worse would have been a terrible, terrible thing. And ultimately, they paid a very big price. Rusty Bernstein's almost convicted of sabotage and hanged. He finally has to flee the country. Others have to flee. Some of them eventually are killed or murdered. They pay a terrible price in the end, but it was kind of a gradual thing that sucked them in.
Still, in the end, says Glenn Frankel,
this alliance was really crucial to answer the question as to why South Africa now has this multiracial ethic. Nelson Mandela was an extraordinary leader. I mean, he measures up to Martin Luther King, I think, in all the important ways. And he believed strongly and always preached, even after being imprisoned for 27 years, that because there were a handful of white activists who sided with the black majority in these dark days of the early 60s, that because those people were willing to pay such a huge price, all whites had to be given a chance to participate in the new South Africa. You know, for all the mistakes they made and all their naivete, the people who I call Rivonia's children are responsible to a great extent for this multiracial ethic that still is very important in the new South Africa.
Glenn Frankel is the author of the book Rivonia's Children, now out in paperback. I'm Renee Montaigne, NPR News.